Genesis chapter number 39 this morning. Amen. It's looking to the Word of God. Somebody said, "Preacher, did God give you a message?" I believe He did. Amen. And so let's look into the Word of God and see what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. We've got $394. Is that total? We got $394 for the projector. We need about $300 more, maybe. All right. The Lord will provide. Amen. Genesis 39. All right. How many's with King James? Amen. Black and white? Amen. Here we go. Amen. Let's pray. Ask the Lord to help us. Father, we need you this morning. We thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit that's already here this morning. And God, how you've already blessed my heart through the singing and the fellowship and the Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the times that we have to study it and learn it. And Lord, help us to live it. Help us to apply it. Now, I pray that, God, you'd touch in the preaching hour right now. And I pray you'd just meet with us. I pray, God, you'd help me as a vessel to be filled with the Spirit of God, to preach the Word of God, and be an encouragement to the people of God. And then there, if there's people here this morning that's lost and undone, and they don't know Jesus Christ, I pray that today that they'd meet the greatest friend they could ever have. I pray, God, that you'd introduce them to Jesus Christ. We love you today. We thank you for allowing us to be here. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. And amen. Genesis 39, you know the story well of the life of Joseph, I'm sure, but I want to look in a little piece of Joseph's life this morning. Y'all know earlier in his life, he, as a young man, as a teenager, he's rejected by his brothers. He's thrown into a pit, then they pull him out of the pit. They sell him to a band of men, and he winds up down in Egypt. And in verse 39, we find him, and the Bible says, verse 1, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. Mark that in your Bible. And the Lord was with Joseph. With Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Mark that. With him. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house, or in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by the garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Came to pass, and she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. She spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. It came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. It came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which was spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was, what's it say? With Joseph. Showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. I want to preach along this thought this morning on He'll be with you. He'll be with you. Sometimes God may allow others to put you down in order that He can pick you up. If you look in the life of Joseph, you'll see how he was mistreated by his brethren, and you'll learn this truth. God may allow someone to do you wrong in order to put you in a position to be a blessing to them, and not only to them, but to others. You read over in Genesis 45, in verses number 4 and on through verse 8, you'll find that Joseph told his brother, he said, "You didn't do this to me." He said, "This was God's doing. God put me here. God done this." In Genesis 50:20, he said, "You meant it for evil." He said, "But God meant it for good." What he's saying, Joseph had learned the truth that God was going to allow him to go through some things, even put him through some things by divine appointment, put him in some situations that may not seem favorable to him, but God was going to use those situations to get him in a position where he could not only be prosperous and enjoy the blessings himself, but that he could be a blessing to others. And God can do that in your life and in my life as well. No matter what you come up against as a child of God, you can rest assured that God will be with you through it all. That's a great encouragement to know that He will be with you. Joseph was done wrong by his brethren, but his prosperity was not based upon his performance of his brethren. Joseph's prosperity was based upon the presence of the Lord in his life. Now understand what prosperity is. Prosperity is not necessarily financial. In our day, we hear a lot of peace and prosperity preaching. Everybody wants you to know you're going to feel good and you're going to get rich and you're going to have a big house. Not necessarily. The Bible still says, "Yea, and all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." If you're a child of God, you're going to endure some persecution. You may not have the most money. You may not have great things, though you may, and God could bless you in that way, but that's not necessarily what prosperity is. Say, "Preacher, what is Christian prosperity?" I'll put it simply like this. Prosperity in the life of the child of God is this: having what God wants you to have, being where God wants you to be in order to do what God wants you to do for as long as He needs you to do it, all for His purpose and for His glory. I say that again. It's having what God wants you to have, being where God wants you to be in order to do what God wants you to do as long as He needs you to do it, all for His purpose and for His glory. And if you can accomplish that, you will accomplish prosperity in your Christian life. It's not necessarily about money. It's not necessarily about a big house. It's about being and doing and having what God wants you to be and to do and to have, all for His glory. And that was the life of Joseph. As we look in his life, the Bible several times said, "And he prospered, and everything he did prospered, and he prospered." He was a prosperous man. What about his prosperity? If you read in his life, you'll find that his prosperity, it was unmerited. Even back in his childhood, when his father took a liking to him, and Jacob showed him favor, his favor was unmerited. Let me say, if God puts favor on you, it's grace. It's not your works. Amen. You're saved today, and you're a child of God if you're saved. And it's not by your works. It's by the favor of God. It's by the grace of God. And let me say, everything that you have, everything that you enjoy, every blessing that you own today, hey, can I say, it is not something that you worked up or that you mustered up. You didn't pull yourself up by your bootstrap. You wouldn't have a boot or a strap if it wasn't for the grace of God. Are you listening to me? It's the favor of God. And Joseph's favor, Joseph's prosperity in his life, it was unmerited. He didn't deserve it. And not only that, but it was unmistakable. It was clearly evident. The Bible said that the men saw that he prospered. They saw that the hand of the Lord was on him. They saw that God was with him. It was unmistakable. Can I say, when God is favoring you, hey, it'll be evident. Amen. Hey, I'm saying this, when God is prospering you spiritually, it'll be evident. You won't have to go around telling everybody. It'll be evident. Amen. Listen, when you're walking in the favor of God and the blessings of God are on your life, people will notice it, because not only will you receive the blessings, but your blessings will pour out into other lives. A lot of people God can't bless. You know why? Because they got a closed hand. God gave them something one time and they've been holding on to it ever since. When God gives you something, He gives it to you so that you can pass it on. And if you'll pass it on and keep your hand open, He can put something more in there. And when He learns He can trust you with a little bit, He might add a little bit to it. And then by the time your life's over and you grow spiritually, He could be adding you big old handfuls of purpose so that you can in turn be a blessing to others. God wants to bless you. It's not necessarily money. It's not necessarily houses and cars. But God could use those things. God could give you money if you quit being stingy with the money you got. Somebody said, well, if I had $2 million, I'd give to the church. If you're not tithing on $200, you won't tithe on $2 million. God's no fool. Amen. Hey, Joseph's favor and his prosperity was unmistakable. And not only that, it was unending. As we've read in this story, even in the prison, he prospered. Even in prison, he was prospering. And God was blessing. And you say, where did he learn this? Because I told you, his prosperity was based upon the presence of the Lord. And that's what I want to preach on this morning, on the presence of the Lord in the life of Joseph. How that he, like he was with Joseph, God will be with you as a child of God. God will help you. Back all the way back in Genesis 35, Joseph learned about the presence of God from his father Jacob. In Genesis 35, in verse number 2, the Bible said, Jacob said to his household, to all that were with him. Who's his household? That's his family, is it not? And he said to his household, to all his family, put away the strange gods that are among you. Get rid of that worldliness. We don't need it anymore. Be clean. Change your garments and let us arise. Go up to Bethel. What's Bethel? Bethel's the house of God. And he said, now we'll make there an altar unto God. God, who's God? Who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. Jacob taught his children about the presence of God. Jacob gathered his household around, his family. He said, let me tell y'all something. We got to go to church and I got to teach y'all something. I'm going up to God's house because God, hey, he delivered me and he's been with me and he stayed with me even in the way that I went. Now, if you understand the life of Jacob, you'll understand Jacob was not necessarily the best Christian. Jacob was a trickster. He was a huckster. And you'll find out old Jacob, he wouldn't be the pattern for your life. But I'm going to tell you something. If God can make a difference in Jacob's life, and if God can intervene in Jacob's life, and God can turn Jacob into Israel, and God can be with Jacob in his way, hey, God can be with you. God can be with you. We're probably guilty, every one of us, of taking the presence of the Lord lightly. Taking it for granted. Can I say to you, it is no matter to take for granted that God is with us. Amen. Today, you and I, we can say that our body, the Bible teaches us that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, and the Bible says, which is in you. Which is in you. The Holy Ghost, when you got saved, God took up residence inside of you. Amen. Are you listening? There's somebody bigger than you, if you're saved, living inside of you. Amen. He's bigger than the president. He's bigger than the United Nations. He's bigger than anything you'll face. If you're saved, God is with you. He's in you. And the Bible teaches us that he indwells us and he is within us. You say, well, I don't know if I have him. Well, the Bible says if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So if you don't know that he's in you, you're not saved. Because when you got saved, the Holy Ghost took up Romans 8:9. Just check it out. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Hey, your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Now listen to what Jesus told his disciples. Matthew 28, some of you know this. And when Jesus was leaving, and he said, go you therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then he said this, right before he left, he said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Amen. Lo, I am with you. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to be with you. And when he ascended, he sent the Comforter. He sent the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, our helper, the one that comes along with us. And he sent him to be with us. Jesus said, I'm not leaving you comfortless. Can I say, if you're saved today, he's with you. And not only is he with you today, so I know he's here at church. I mean, Jesus is building the church. Let me say this. The church is not this building. The church is not these walls. The church is not these pews. Now listen, this is the meeting place for the church. If you're saved, look around. You see saved people, that's the church. And this building would be just another building had it not been for saved people who built this building and ordained it and set it up and instituted it for the worship of God. Some of y'all was like, huh, I never heard that. Hey, if you're saved, the people are the church. We heard that little thing, here's the church, here's my steeple, open the door, and here's all the people. No, here's the church. Here's the church. The people are the church. Are you with me? And we are, listen, the church is, God dwells in the church, and God dwells individually in the believer's life. And you don't need to take for granted the presence of God, because I say to you, hey, that the presence of the Lord was real, and the presence of the Lord was constant in Joseph's life. And we've seen this, and we're going to see this, how the presence of the Lord was constant in every area, every circumstance he faced. The presence of the Lord was real in Joseph's life, and it consistently made an impact in his life, and not only his life, but in the life of others. You say, I want God to use my life. I want God to have an impact on my life. I want God to use me. I want to be blessed, and I want to be a blessing to others. I want God, like he did for one man, to enlarge my coast and allow me to do greater things. I tell you what you need to do. You need to start quitting taking lightly the presence of God. And you need to enjoy the presence of God. You need to spend time with Him and commune with Him. He's with you. He wants to lead you. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to read His Word. He wants you to pray. Listen, make much of the presence of God in your life. Listen, I thank God for those times when we come to church and when you come and there's liberty and there's, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I thank God for those times. I'm talking about when you come to church. Y'all know what I'm talking about when it gets loose and it gets free and people start testifying. You say, oh, God was there today. Well, the truth of the matter is God was there last Sunday too. We just didn't make him feel well. If you're saved, he's with you everywhere you go. You listen, we don't always live on the mountaintop, but you can have one of those times riding down the road in the car. You can be in the shower and experience the presence of God. Because he's with you. Are you listening? Hey, listen, church is a good place. Church is a real good place. That's why you ought to be faithful to church. Church is a real good place to get in the presence of God and to experience it and to see the manifested presence of God. But I say this, you can be driving down the road in an old tractor trailer and be spending time with God and have an experience that you worship God because you're making much of the presence of God. Can I say when he came into your life, he didn't come just to be the resident, he came to be the president. Amen. He didn't come just to have a little room. He came to take over. He didn't come just to sweep out one little corner and sit in the corner. That's what most of us try to do with him. No, one old preacher said he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Oh, preacher, that's not popular. I don't care if it's popular or not. Are you listening? We need to learn to make much of the presence. Let me say something about the presence of the Lord in Joseph's life. You say, preacher, the Lord was with him? Yeah, the Lord was with him. Watch this. Number one, I want you to notice how the Lord was with him in his occupation. The Lord was with him in his occupation. Somebody said, preacher, I don't like my job. I don't like where I'm at. Hey, can I say God can use you on the job? Listen, Joseph was sold out by his brethren. And he sold to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites sell him down in Egypt. And Potiphar gets him. Potiphar puts him in his house. And when Potiphar puts him out, Potiphar puts him to work. Here he is at work. In verse number 2, what did it say? It said, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3, and the master saw that the Lord was with him. How did the master see it? I mean, was there a visible? I mean, did he see the Lord standing beside Joseph? No. I'll tell you what he saw. He saw the evidence of the Lord being with Joseph because everything that Joseph did began to prosper. He said, God's got his hand on that boy. God's using him. God's in his life. And he saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. And Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him. And what did he do? And he made him overseer over the house and all that he had he put into his hand. What about that? Hey, in his occupation, God was with him. We see that because God was with him in his occupation, he prospered. We saw that several times. He was a prosperous man. And all that he did was prospering in his hand. Why? Because the Lord was with him. If you'll learn to worship God and to enjoy the presence of God in a tractor and trailer, in a cubicle at work, hey, listen, hey, making concrete or asphalt or riding in a police car, if you'll learn to worship God, spend time with him and walk with him and enjoy his presence and make him welcome in your life, God can prosper you. But not only did he prosper, but because God was with him, he was positioned. You say, what do you mean positioned? Well, he said he not only put him to work, not only did he prosper, but he said he made him overseer over his house. Now, all that he had, he put into his hand. Did y'all see that? Verse number 6 says he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Joseph's the slave. Are you listening? Hey, slave boy. Hey, you're over my house. You're over everything. Could you imagine? The Bible said that Potiphar knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. Well. Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. God was with Joseph in his occupation. Let me encourage you today. You've got to work a job. You may not enjoy sometimes the physical manual labor. You may not enjoy the grind. But I say this, if you'll understand the presence of God in your life, and he'll be with you. Hey, he can prosper you, and he can position you where he needs you. If you'll realize that when you're there at work, you're not working for them, you're working for God. Everything you do, you're serving God. How could a young man prosper? I'm talking about a young man who was in slavery, who had been rejected and sold out by his own brother. How could he prosper, and how could he earn such a position in the house of Potiphar, where he was over everything? I'll tell you why. Because God was with him. God was with him. The presence of God will make a difference in your life. You and I can prosper. We can be positioned just the same because of God's presence in our life as well. Do you enjoy God's presence? Do you spend time with God? Do you take for granted, honestly, do you take for granted that when I got saved, he indwelled me? Do you go to work, does it act like you're by yourself? Or do you realize that everywhere you go, everything you do, God's with you? You realize when you face a decision at work, God's with you, and you can say, hey, God, I need some wisdom. We're quick to hit Google. How do I? Hey, what about instead of going to Google, go to God? The Bible said he giveth wisdom to all men. He abradeth not. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Is that what the Bible says in James? All right, ask God. God can give us wisdom. God can give us strength. God can give us a good attitude. If we'll dwell in His presence, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Are you listening? You go around filled with the Spirit of God, somebody's going to say something different. They might not necessarily know God, but they're going to say, there's something different about that fellow. Y'all remember Daniel? Y'all remember Daniel, how he was in bondage, but when he was in bondage in the kingdom, hey, the Bible said in Daniel, I think it's chapter number 6, the Bible said that he had an excellent spirit. If God's in you and you enjoy his presence, you realize, hey, people will notice it. God can use you in your occupation because he's with you. Number 2, I want to say this, God was with him in his temptation. In his temptation. So what are you talking about? Watch, we just read it there, verse 7 through 13. The Bible talks about how it came to pass that after these things, that Potiphar's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and she said, lie with me. Now understand now, this is a teenage boy. Are you listening? This is a teenage boy. And this woman comes to him. And she comes and she says, hey, come lie with me. Can I say his temptation was real? That is a real temptation to a young man. That's why young men, you ought to guard yourself, not put yourself in the wrong place with a young lady. Or with any woman. Hey, you ought not be in the back seat of a car by yourself. Hey, listen, hey, in the dark, on a dance floor. Hey, listen, somewhere by yourself with a woman. Hey, I'm telling you, you're putting yourself in the wrong spot. Are you listening? Don't put yourself in the wrong spot. Joseph was a young man, and that was a real temptation. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, hey, you're either dead or something's wrong with you. Amen. If you're a man. Hey, evidently, she must have been a nice-looking lady. And she comes and she says, lie with me. It was real. Not only, I want to say this, not only was that real temptation to a teenage boy, but this temptation was repeated. Look down in verse number 10. In verse 10 it says, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. Oh, wow. She didn't just do this one time. She said, Joseph, come on. And then the next day, Joseph, come on. And then the next day, Joseph, come on. Hey, the devil's not going to leave you alone. Hey, men, hey, let me talk to you men and young boys here for a second. God knows where you're tempted. God knows too. But the devil knows where you're tempted. He knows your weak spot. And he'll put you in the mind of thinking, hey, listen, this is all right. No, it's not all right. It's still not good for a man to touch a woman. Bible said, let a man have his own wife. His own wife, not his own girlfriend, his own wife, not somebody else's wife, his own wife. Amen. If you're not married, keep your hands off of her. That's what it says, 1 Corinthians 7. Amen. When you get married, she's yours, you're hers. Amen. Somebody help me. Hey, the temptation is real, but the temptation was repeated. Hey, listen, but the temptation was resisted. Look in verse number 8. But he, what's that next word? Refused. He refused and said unto his master, right, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he hath into my hand. He said, hey, listen, I'm not touching you. Your husband has put me in his position. Your husband's given me this authority. I'm not touching you. You're not mine. No, no, no. A lot of Christians just need to learn to say no. The temptation was resisted. Keep reading. Keep reading. Look in verse 10. It came to pass, and she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, lie by her, or to be with her. Sooner or later, old Joseph said, I ain't even listening to you. I don't want to hear it. No, no. It got to the point to where she grabbed him, and she tried to force him, and he run. Well, that's what happened. I want you to know something. How did he resist, preacher? How did he resist? Old Joseph run. You see that there in the next couple of verses, in verse 12. And you see how the Bible said that he left his garment in her hand and he fled and got him out. And you see there, Joseph lost his coat, but he kept his character. Hey, if you take a stand, teenager, if you take a stand, teenager, hey, mom and daddy, if you take a stand, when temptation comes your way, you may not fit in with everybody in the community or down at the schoolhouse or wherever you work. You might not fit in and they might think you're crazy. Mom and dad, there may be some things that you say no to your kids about. And people say, oh, you're being mean. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. It might not be popular, but it's still right. He lost his coat. People laugh. You crazy thing. You're going to lose your coat. Yeah, but I'm going to keep my character. A lot of Christians could do to run from temptation. Lose your coat, keep your character. Amen. Keep your reputation. Keep your testimony. But not only that, hey, he ran. He ran, did he not? But he ruled. He ran. When temptation come his way, he ran. The Bible said, what does the Bible say over the New Testament? Flee. Fornication. Hey, he fled. And when he fled, he wound up later on and like, oh, you say he got done wrong. Yeah, but later on, the cream rose to the top. God's sovereignty come around, and in God's providential time, he was ruling over the nation, second to Pharaoh. You might have to run from some things, but God can bless you in the long run. You say, how could a young man, a teenage boy, why and how could he resist and refuse this such strong temptation? I'll tell you why. Because he knew that God was with him. You say, how do you get that? Look in verse 9. Glad you asked. Look at 9. There's none greater, he says to her. There's none greater in this house than I. Neither he hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Watch this. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against who? God. He didn't say against Potiphar. He didn't say, how can I sin against your husband? He said, how can I do this wicked thing and sin against God? Amen. You know why? Because he realized that God was with him. Amen. He heard his daddy tell him, you're saved, boy, God's with you. You're God's child. God's with you. And when temptation come, he fled and he ran and he lost his coat and kept his character because he said, God's with me. And he said, I wouldn't just be sinning against my own self, and I wouldn't just be sinning against you, and I wouldn't just be sinning against your husband, but the great story and the great truth here is I'd be sinning against God Almighty. And he said, God is with me. And because God was with him, he said, the New Testament, that, hey, our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. It's not our own. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit. Hey, child of God, you're saved. He's with you. He's with you. You say, preacher, how can I overcome this great temptation? I'll tell you what, your temptation is no greater than anybody else's. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. You'll not face a temptation today or tomorrow that God can't deliver you from. If you'll just realize when temptation comes, if you'll experience and make much of the presence of God and say, whoa, I can't drink that. God's with me. I can't go there. God's with me. I can't touch her. God's with me. I can't participate in that activity. God's with me. As a particular place, me and my wife, I got to hurry, I know that, me and my wife would go on vacation, and it's a beautiful place, and as we go down here, there's a waterway, and there's a nice walkway, and as we go by there, there's a dance hall. It says dance hall. You know, Brother Robbie, honest to God, I've never been tempted one time to walk. As I walk by there, the lights are pretty, and there's places to eat, and there's over here, there's candy stores, and there's all kinds of places. Beautiful. I walk through there. And I go in the candy store, man, I love candy. It never hurt me. There's an ESPN zone. I go in the ESPN play. A different place. I've never one time. You know why I don't go in the dance floor? You know why I don't go in there? Because God's with me. And there's something in me. Hey, listen, I'm like, I ain't going in there. Me and my wife will just keep on walking. Certain places in your life, you just won't go if you just stop and think about God's with me. You start, hey, you're down at work, and they start telling a dirty joke, and you know where it's headed. And you can get up and walk out, and you can walk out of that office. You can walk and say, I talked to y'all in a little while. You know why? Because you realize God's with me. Amen. You're on a job, and you sit down to eat with your workmates, and they start passing cold. Let's have a cold one. And you can sit there and say, no, I'm not going to have one. And they say, why? You say, because God's with me. Are you listening? Hey, in this day and age, I'll just hit this. You can be on the internet and one of your old high school flames will hit you up and say, hey, let's meet. And you can think, man, I'm married. But hold on, God's with me. No, I ain't doing it. God's with me. You understand everywhere you go, everything you do, if you're a Christian, God is with you. The presence of God is real. And if you understand that God is able to deliver you, you can overcome temptation. Because even at times of temptation, He's with you. But number three, let me give you this and we'll go to the house. Eat some dead chicken. Amen? Not only is he with you in your occupation, not only will he be with you in your temptation, but he'll be with you in your tribulation. In your tribulation. Hey, life is not always easy. And let me say this, life is not always fair. Somebody said, why does bad things happen to good people? I don't know, it ain't never happened but one time. Jesus is the only one that you can call good. Rest of us are sinners. But why does bad things happen to seemingly good people? I don't understand everything that takes place. You don't understand. You don't have all the answers. But I can say this in our life, and I'll be honest with you, I'm glad God's not fair. Because if I got what was fair, I'd be in hell. I'm glad God's a God of mercy. God of grace. Thank you, Brother Ray. Hey, I said God's a God of mercy. Amen. I'm glad it's not always fair. But in life, sometimes we face things and we say, man, that's tough. Now think about Joseph. Just think about Joseph for a second. His own brothers didn't like him because he told them what God had told him. God gave him a dream and told him some things. And his brothers didn't like him. So his brothers, they rejected him. They done him wrong. And his brothers sold him into slavery. Here he is in Egypt. And he's down there and he's serving in Potiphar's house and God's positioned him in a nice place and God's blessing him. And then Potiphar's wife lies on him. Y'all know the story. It's a lie. Verses 13 through 18, it was a lie. His tribulation was undeserved. He didn't necessarily deserve to go through everything he went through, did he? I didn't read in anywhere that Joseph done his brothers wrong. I didn't read anywhere that he done something wrong in Potiphar's house. Matter of fact, when I study the life of Joseph, he's a great type of Christ because I can't find hardly anything wrong with him. His tribulation, his hard times in life was undeserved. Hey, he got there because of a lie. He's in prison now. The Bible says where they had the prisoners bound. And he's in his tribulation, Brother Steve. And even there, God's with him. It's undeserved. It was unavoidable. There was nothing he could have done. If you study his life, there was nothing he could have done to avoid it. He did what his dad said do. He went down to his brothers. His brothers got mad at him and threw him in a pit, pulled him out of the pit, sold him to the band of gypsies. They took him down to Egypt. He's in Potiphar's house doing what he's supposed to do. He's a good man. He's doing right. He's well favored by God. He could not have avoided. He did everything he was supposed to. Brother Eric, he was doing what he was supposed to do, wasn't he? And tribulation, hey, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. In this world you shall have tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen. It's unavoidable. It was unfavorable. All right. Look at verse 20. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound.
All right.
Wait a minute. God's prospered him. God's got his hand on him. Everything he's touching is turning to gold, so to say.
Well,
he's blessed, highly favored. And then Potiphar takes him and puts him in the place where the king's prisoners are bound. That's not a favorable position. That's not a place I would desire. Is it? Honestly, I have no desire to go to jail. Even when I go in jails and prisons and preach, I'm about to have spook. I'm like, man, what if they don't let me out? What if they find out? Keep me. Just kidding. Prison's not a favorable place. I've never seen anybody in prison. I love it here. I mean, there's some guys in there that's probably making the best of it and doing what they can do, but I've never seen anybody say, I'm glad I'm here. Have you? It's an unfavorable position. So how could Joseph endure being treated so wrongfully, and still have an excellent attitude, still have a spirit about him that was noted, that even in prison, everything he did was made to prosper. Look there in verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did there, he was a doer of. Keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Why? Because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it prosper. The Lord made it to prosper. But the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. You know, over in the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews said, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I will never. Hey, even in your tribulation, even in your going through the hardest times of your life, not only will God help you and prosper you in your occupation, not only will he help you to overcome temptation, but in the hard times of life, God will give you strength and comfort. And you can realize that he's with you. He's with you in the valley. He's with you in the hard times. He's with you when people come against you. He's with you when people do you wrong. His presence is real. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hey, he's a friend sticking closer than a brother. A friend sticking closer than a brother. So today, if you're a child of God, if you're saved, we can be assured as Christians that our Lord is always with us. With us. With us. He's always with us. And if we'll be sensitive to that fact, it'll have great impact on our lives. It'll have great impact on others' lives through our life for the glory of God. For the glory of God. We'll learn, make much of, presence of God. He is with you. He'll be with you. No matter what you face, He'll be with you. Let's pray. Father, pray you take the message. Bless it according to your will. God, speak to hearts. There may be someone here today that's not saved. They don't know Jesus. God, I pray that they realize that Jesus Christ loved them enough that He gave Himself for them. God sent His own precious only begotten Son to Calvary to die in their place so that they could be saved. Oh God, thank You for that. I pray, God, You'd speak to their hearts and show them they can be saved today. And then, Lord, for the Christian, maybe there's some here that's discouraged. Maybe there's some here that's defeated. Maybe there's some here that's going through a hard time in life, and You want to help them. You just show them and reassure them today that You're with them. You're with them. And You're going to be with them. And You'll walk with them. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He's with us. He's with us. Thou art with me. Thank You, Lord, for being with us. Thank You, God, for helping us today. Speak to hearts and lives and have Your will. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're standing all across the auditorium. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.